Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Roarcast podcast hosted by First Year Programs. My name is Lauren Porter, and today with me, I have my boss, Justin Barton, with us as my co-host. How you doing today, Justin?
What's up, everyone? How's it going? I'm doing great. I'm exhausted because Lauren walks super fast.
Okay, I do not walk super fast. You walk incredibly slow.
You had 26 steps to my three on the way over here. Seriously.
Okay, so I was thinking about this. I think the reason why, so this, during COVID, during 2020, my mom and I would go on long walks, but we walk like pretty fast. And my mom's partner, Bill, walks incredibly slow. He walks like you. And I'm like, all right, Grandpa, come on.
I'm just enjoying life.
No, we have things to do. Like,
I'm looking at the beautiful foliage on campus.
How many minutes?
Saying hi to all the students. How's it going?
All right, social butterfly. How many minutes does it take for you to walk a mile?
You know what? I don't think about it as the minutes it takes me. I'm concentrating on the experience of the mile.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I interrupting your growth mindset?
It's better than having that fixed mindset, Lauren.
Sir, we have the same mindset. There's a test you can take about whether you have a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. But yeah, anyhoozle.
No, great that, times. No, I enjoyed our walk over here. It was good.
You just need to pick it up.
It was fun.
Well,
it was a good time.
Speaking of walking, we have two individuals who not just walk, they run. And they don't just run, they sprint. We have today with us two members from the men's soccer team. Whoops. Never mind, I can't use these.
No, it's this one. Nope.
Sorry, we got this. No, turn it off. Never mind. It's just gonna.
There's a cheer in here somewhere.
There's a cheer somewhere. We'll just do it for you. Yay!
Way to go! Yay!
Soccer. So, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourselves, and state your major, your minor, your year, and where you call home.
I'll go first. I'm Zachary Flax. I'm a senior here at Lindenwood. I am a sports management major, and I'm from Kansas City, Kansas.
I'm Alex Simic. As Lauren said, we do run a lot. For you listeners out there, just a visual is I have orange hair. I'm 5'10", 5'11" on a good day. Today's a good day, so I'm 5'11". My major is business administration. I have a minor in sport management, and I am from Chesterfield, Missouri.
Nice.
And I am a senior.
Both defenders, right?
Yes.
Both correct. Play defense?
Yeah, the fun job on the
we
field.
We battle
yeah.
for position sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Wow. So what – so your defense. So what exactly does that mean in soccer world? Like, what is your sole purpose in the game of soccer?
So we have these things called clean sheets. And when you're a defender, when you're a goalie, that's the main thing you're looking forward to during a game is, you know, you fist pump the goalie right before it starts and you say, no goals today. That's what I do. And you say it's a clean sheet day. And that's the goal for the whole game for the first half, second half. And that's what you try to do.
Yeah, you don't really get to have the, you know, exciting fun of scoring a lot of goals and going up in the attack. So basically your main job is to sit back and not let anyone get inside your box and score. Growing up, I had a sister that was a goalie, so I kind of wanted to be a defender because don't want him to score on you.
Now, Zach says that, but he scored a goal like last year from like 40 yards out. So he says that, but that's we do awesome. Get into the tag, the attack here and there.
That's hilarious. Yeah, so being a defender, though, is really physical. Like, soccer itself is more physical than people realize, right? Like,
correct.
My son's playing high school soccer right now. So he's 15, right? He's a defender. And I was like, man, I didn't realize they could get away with as much as they can get away with as far as the physicality of the sport's concerned. Like, you guys can – you get in there, like, push.
Yeah.
Can't do straight arm pushes, right?
Yeah, no, you can't do that. But when you get in the game, especially from, like, the high school level to college, I remember my first, like, college experience. I played in a summer league game. And the level I played against this guy who was, like, 27 and super fast. He ran like he was 21. And the first time I get in the game, next thing I know is my jersey's ripped. And he's just grabbing it, yanking it, and no call from the referee. And it was like, okay, here we are. So it's aggressive sometimes. And you only really realize that once you really look at it closely or hop in the game. or if you're a referee. Yeah,
I would agree with that. I mean, being like an 18-year-old freshman back in the day, you're going against 22, 23-year-olds, and you're like, oh my gosh, is this game for men? And you're just trying to grow up on the field out there. So the physicality thing, a lot of people kind of underestimate that when it comes to soccer, but it really is physical.
Totally. Yep, I see that.
So as you were talking, I watch a show called Gilmore Girls. I don't know if either of you heard this show.
Are you going to relate Gilmore Girls to soccer?
I'm going to talk about a specific episode. So in one of the seasons, Luke, who is a diner owner, is sponsoring a girls' soccer team. In that episode, he goes to one of their games, and he has no idea what soccer is. He's just like, these kids ask for funding. I'll give them money. And so he goes to the game, and, like, they don't show what's happening, but it, like, he's like, oh, there's blood on the ground. Oh, no. She just kicked the girl in the head. Like, all of this stuff. And so that is all I have when it comes to soccer, is a verbal confirmation from a character on a TV show about what soccer is.
Yeah, so speaking of the blood, this man sitting across from me, Zach, he actually injured one of our players the other day. There was a ball in the air coming down, and our two big defenders, he jumps up, he's 6'4", jumps up, and then runs into our teammate Dino. Shout out Dino. And he got concussed, almost had to get stitches on his lip, and then he comes back next game, and next thing you know, he's concussed again. So he's struggling right now. Shout out Dino. Hopefully he's doing all right. Yeah. But
shout out Dino. Sorry about that, man.
Sometimes it's friendly fire.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
I love how you just, like, casually was like, yeah, he has a concussion. I was like, excuse me?
It's a big part of the sport, though. I mean, like, I think concussions probably happen a lot in soccer.
Yeah, heading the ball a lot. It's crazy. Yeah. As defenders, yeah, heading the ball a lot during the games, you kind of get woozy.
Yeah. So, question for you both. With Lindenwood, fun fact, we're D1. Did both of you know that?
Yes.
Okay.
I figured it out last week.
Good job. So how has that affected your season this year, or has it affected your season?
It's been exciting, stepping up a level from D2 to D1. I mean, people always say that soccer's kind of almost like the same in a sense with level-wise, but I would say stepping up from D2 to D1 has been like a big step, not only just like the physicality and the pace of play, but also like your mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of struggled a little bit out the gate, but it, to me and to like most of my teammates, it's just about the experience, about building every game, just getting better for those 90 minutes. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been cool. Traveling to new places like Missouri State, never got to go there. Butler was super cool up in Indianapolis. So yeah, just kind of seeing the new places is really cool.
Yeah, with what Zach said, seeing new places like Mo State has been very cool, because I have friends up at Mo State and Flaxus too, and it's now they can go to like a real game that they weren't able to go to before without driving a long distance. Now, the thing I will say is, with all the good things that Zach said, is we are on a bus 24/7 right now, which obviously it's the first year, so that's going to happen, but man, I mean, we are spending half of our nights sleeping on a bus, and Flax and I are touching toes across the seats, but but that's been the struggle, just a little bit academically, just because it's, you really have to be on top of everything. There's no slacking off, but the jump to the D1 level has been awesome. I've really enjoyed it.
Has that also changed how you practice? So practicing D2 is one thing, but practicing D1 is a completely different story. So what does that look like?
That's a good question. So I wouldn't say the practices from D2 to D1 have changed much, but I would say with our traveling, they've changed a little bit, just because if we're going to be on a bus for like 6 to 7 hours, the practice that we're having right before we leave for the bus isn't going to be like, your legs are exhausted and then you're going to have to cramp up on the bus. So we've had a little bit lighter practices during the week than usual, but
yeah, it's like we'll travel on a Monday for a Tuesday game and we'll get back at 2:00 on a Wednesday morning. So it's just kind of about maintaining the body. And the next thing you know, we're on a bus on Thursday and we're getting back on Saturday. So yeah, it just kind of all depends when the games are played, but it's mostly just the same, just a lot of depends on the travel.
Well, one thing that you guys talked about too, just a second ago, was you talked about the mentality, right? How is that different? Like, what do you do to prepare yourselves mentally differently now than what you did for D2 games?
For me, I'll let you in on a little insight. Is so for most game days, I will meditate for like 15 minutes just for like a daily routine. And that kind of clears up my mind, clears up everything during the day. And it just some time to myself, and then it's just 15 minutes and then I'm good. The mentality from D2 to D1 is different. I will say that is, because the best of the best are here and they're here for a reason. And it's the quality of players is like, it's insane. And we've seen that quality at D2, but not the same, like, what's that word? Like there's so many at the D1 level where D2 has those players, but they're not as many.
And you got the D1 more level, quantity, yeah, of, yeah. Quantity right. of it's like really, crazy. Really good players at the D1 level.
Right. It's like everywhere you look, they're there.
Everybody was top notch.
Yeah. And we've played those teams that have been up there, but we've also played teams that, you know, were pretty easy teams. So,
yeah. I said, kind of what he said, meditation is kind of a big thing. What I'll do in the locker room before a game is I'll put on like cinematic music. So like the music you'll hear in like Transformers or like Divergent, like all those movies. I like hearing cinematic music because it kind of gets you like in a mindset where, oh no, you're like the only person in the world and you have to conquer it. So like doing that on the field is like, you know, you have a whole team around you, but you got to do your individual job in order to win games. So that's kind of what I do. And going off what he says is like everyone on a team that we play in now, like everyone is the best of the best at their position. And you got to start games strong, and that's how kind of you can get ready for a game is just kind of having that mentality.
May I suggest the Hocus Pocus 2 soundtrack?
Really?
I haven't heard that one yet.
Okay. Hocus Pocus 2, if you separate it from the original movie, it is phenomenal. Their songs, immaculate. Also, when it comes to y'all's travel, have you ever heard of the app Ben? B-E-E-N?
I have not.
So this app, you get to put like, oh, I've been to Nebraska, I've been to Montana, and it tracks what states you've been to. And with all that travel, you might have a better idea of what all the states you've been to. So if you're ever like, oh, hey, I hit 50 states, it'll like give you a little congratulations.
That's interesting. I might have to download that. I have had an app though. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's called Places I've Pooped. And that is an app, and it's very similar to yours, but it goes a little bit more into detail, and it's like, boom, we're in Iowa. Now you can put that pin on the map, and you know you've been to Iowa.
Yeah, I actually have an app idea, but I'm not going to share it because it's a billion-dollar app idea. But it's surrounding pooping, actually. But
really?
Yeah, I'll talk to you about it off the air.
Yeah, we'll talk about all that
Is it tracking?
Stuff later.
Well, kind of. And rating, let's just say that way. That's all I'm going to give you guys. I bet. That's all I'm going to give it because somebody's going to steal my idea, and then I'm going to be sitting on the sideline being like, that was my idea.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah.
And also back to Flax's music. I didn't know he actually listened to that music before the games. We're polar opposites. I sometimes switch it up, but I'm usually listening to like Kodak Black and playing some rap and – But I guarantee if you ask everybody in the locker room, like, actually, we've done some TikToks, like, hey, what song are you listening to? And I assume you've seen those. Mm-hmm. It's a whole variety. Like, yep. We have guys from Chile. We have guys from Venezuela, and they're bumping their Spanish music.
Bad
and
then Bunny.
They're bumping Bad Bunny, which shout out to Gabriel. He said Bad Bunny over in Chile and, like, those Spanish countries is pretty much Drake. So that was an interesting tidbit.
That's awesome. That's cool.
We listen to a lot of Bad Bunny at our office. I'm not going to lie. A lot. It's kind of fun. Now, question for you. The World Cup is coming up quite soon. So, pertaining to that, I have two questions. Number one, what is your favorite professional soccer team? And number two, according to my research, Brazil is the favorite team to win the World Cup. Do you think the prediction is correct? Yes or no?
I guess I'll go first here. My favorite soccer team is Manchester City. Call me a bandwagon or not, but I've been with them since I was growing up. So, you know, when you're the best, people want to beat the best.
He's an avid fan. He has a flag up in his room. He's up at 6 a.m. screaming at the TV, screaming, oh, Erling Haaland.
Oh, Erling Haaland. Yes, sir. But yeah, but going to the Brazil question, last World Cup, Belgium was number one team in the world going into it, and they got knocked out pretty early. So I'm thinking the U.S. is probably going to make a deep run, and Brazil is not going to win. Just my bold prediction.
All right.
Interesting.
My favorite professional soccer team is the U.S. men's national team.
Beautiful.
And we are going to bring it home this year. You heard that here first.
Okay.
If it doesn't happen, cut this out. But we are bringing it home this year. And if nothing else, we will beat England on the day after Thanksgiving.
All right, Justin, what's your prediction?
You know, that's a hard one. I think the U.S. has a really good chance. I think Brazil is probably overrated.
Yes.
But I think England's up there. England's up there right now. So I think it's going to go U.S. England probably. But I think Brazil's up there because everybody's betting on them and the top bet.
You said it perfectly. What happens when a team is so hyped up? Yep. Brazil is phenomenal, but what happens when a team is so hyped up?
They usually
underperform.
Yep.
Too much expectations.
Brazil out in the first round. You heard it here.
We'll come back and see what happens.
Yeah, maybe not.
That starts in November, coming up in November?
Yeah. Into November.
Yep.
Gotcha. Now, when it comes to professional soccer teams, there are a lot of people who are on those professional soccer teams, and some of them are great role models, and some of them are questionable role models. So you personally, who do you look up to the most? It doesn't even have to be a soccer player. It could be your brother, your sister, your dog. Who is your role model?
I would probably have to say my mother. Just a good, fantastic woman, hardworking. And you know, she's always been there for me. Every time I need a hug or every time I need a phone call, she's always there. So I'd probably say my mom. But she never played soccer in her life. I don't know how I ended up playing it. But I guess I'm here now.
For me, that's a deep question. That's a really good question. I would say my dad, and I'd say that 10 out of 10. He was huge into sports. He still is. And like, I like to consider myself a jack of all trades. I like to play a lot of sports, baseball, soccer, basketball, this and that. And he was the same way, golf. And, you know, he's always been there for me. He takes me to practice every single day. And then, just another example is, like, I have all these traveling games right now, and whether we're in Kansas City or whether we're in, like, Minnesota after the game, I always, you know, I cool down and I go see him in the stands because he's always there. So aww. He has a full-time job, and he, like, schedules his week pretty much around my games, and it's pretty impressive, and I'm very blessed. So.
That's awesome.
That's Justin, who's your role model?
Probably my wife, actually, to be honest with you. I think she's a one card trick short of being a saint. I mean, she's a special ed teacher, K-5. She makes sure our kids have everything they need, and I have everything I need. So, I mean, she's a pretty special person. So
she deals with you on a daily basis?
Every single day. Yep. So, no, I mean, she's pretty awesome. So
one card trick short of a saint.
Yeah.
I like that phrase. What about you, Lauren? Who's your role model?
Oh, hands down, my mother. Like, fun fact, I was raised by a single mom. So since I was born, it was just me and her for 20 years. She had me when she was in college. And then now I'm in college and at 20. So I've been like super reflecting that. I was like, how did you do that? Like, it's pretty impressive when you think about it. And so, yeah, she has helped me through a lot and helped me determine what I want to do in my future. Now, yeah, I love her. She's great. I think it's interesting when it comes to role models. 'Cause like we have like the celebrity role models, like, Serena Williams or, Selena Gomez or whoever. But then we have like personal role models who have helped us through like personal things. Now, when it comes to soccer, why did you choose soccer? Like, out of all the sports, what made you think soccer is where I want to go? And also, if you weren't playing soccer, what sport would you play? Baseball?
That's a very good
football?
Question. That's a good question. For me, growing up, like both my parents didn't play soccer. My dad played college football, so I always thought that he wanted me to be a football player. But he actually wouldn't let me play tackle football until I was in fifth grade. So I just played soccer. I played basketball. I played baseball. And, you know, I kind of started to fall in love with soccer when I was watching all my sisters. I have three older sisters, so I got to watch them growing up. So I was at the – when I got to the point of, like, tackle football, I played for a year, and I was like, you know what, this isn't really for me. I'm just going to continue soccer. So I would just say just, like, the universal feeling of soccer. Everyone knows soccer. So that's how I got into it. And I played high school basketball, so if I wasn't playing soccer, I'd probably play basketball. But I'd probably be the most, like, average 6'4 basketball player out there. I mean, I'm decent enough to play at the rec over here at Evans and do okay, but on the real court, everyone else seems to be a little bit better.
You should see us at Evans Commons. You should come out and watch a game because the soccer boys run Evans Commons.
We do. We do.
And I'll say that, and whoever wants to argue, let's play 5v5.
Yeah.
We've got a squad, so come up.
Hit us up. Hit us up.
Yeah. For me, I got into soccer. I was doing a bunch of different sports. I got into soccer. My dad played soccer. He played at Mo State, and then he played at SLU College. So our family's been a soccer family. Now, when I was little, I have a younger brother who's like 2 years younger than me, and we would go down to our basement, which looked like a dungeon, and we have these cement walls and these wooden chair or stairs coming down. And we would take a little soccer ball that would fit in your palm, and we'd stand in the middle, and I'd just drop it. And as soon as it hit the ground, we'd kick each other. And as soon as – then we're playing to 10 goals. And so we did that every single day pretty much and over and over and over, and that's I awesome. Fell in love with it.
Now, what sport would you play if you weren't playing soccer?
That's a very good question. It changes. It's seasonal.
It's a season.
Yeah.
All right, at this moment –
at this moment, it would be golf, but I would usually say basketball.
You're not even that good at golf, though. That's the thing.
You don't think?
No,
I think if I played golf as much as golfers do, I could be very good.
Yeah, I could probably break 100 if I did that.
That's fair enough. But basketball would be my answer.
Okay.
And Flax and I play basketball together a lot, yeah. So...
like orange juice out there, dynamic duo.
Orange juice.
Orange juice.
There you go.
Splash.
What about you, Justin? If you could play a sport, what sport would you play?
Well, I was a competitive cheerleader in college. I cheered at Southeast Missouri State University. So, and I was a cheer coach for 18 years at the college level. So, but I mean, since I'm not a cheerleader, I also played a little basketball in high school. I played baseball until I was like 17.
Maybe you could join the squad. We might need a six on the team.
Yeah, we're holding tryouts soon. Yeah.
You take me on? Power forward, baby.
Yeah, we might need to see a tryout first. Yeah. And then we can
I got a wicked move. Even got a sky hook from back.
Oh, okay. He's on the team. He's on the team.
He's valid.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There you go.
I'll bring back old school.
You are old school.
I'll throw stuff out there that people haven't seen in years.
Wow.
Like, who is this guy?
Grandpa.
Yeah, probably. Put Lauren out there. She'll just walk really fast around the court.
I don't walk fast. I walk at a normal speed. You are just slow.
Okay.
Okay. Fun fact. So I was on social media, as I do, and there was a video of this thing called horse diving. Okay. It's awful. Don't do it. It was banned. Basically, you and a horse walk up to a platform, and then you dive into water with the horse.
That sounds horrible.
How high is the platform?
Really high. Oh.
Well, you got to check it out. You got to YouTube it. We YouTubed it yesterday.
Like, how many feet?
Oh, like 100, like 100 feet. Like, it was crazy.
How could you get a horse to do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
You can bring a horse to water, but you can't let it jump with you.
But you can't make him dive.
Can't make him dive.
Can't make him nose
dive. So if I could choose a sport, it would definitely not be that. But I do like horses, so competitive horse riding would be kind of fun.
Doesn't Lindenwood have an equestrian? Or they had an equestrian team at one point.
I don't know. It always felt very elitist to me. It always felt like rich people would do that, and I always wanted to be like that rich person.
I kind of agree.
Yeah, because, like, you have to take care of the horse. Like,
horses are expensive.
Horses are expensive because you have to, like, you not only have to take care of it, you have to feed it, you have to brush it, you have to, like, wash it, all of that. You also have to find a place to put the horse. You can't put a horse in your house or a hospital.
Emotional support horse.
You know what? That's what I'll have at my house at Lindenwood University, is an emotional support horse.
Yeah, funny story. So we were downtown this weekend just watching the Cardinals play a ballpark, and some dude had his horse. He was pulling around carriage, and he let us pet it a little bit. I was like, how much does this thing, like, eat a day? He's like, oh, 50 pounds worth of food. Just barely enough so I can feed myself. I'm like, that is ridiculous. That thing is a mammoth.
I have a question. So if you could have a pet that's not usually a pet, what would your pet be? A
polar bear.
Wow. You're dead in like 2 days.
I know.
Maybe one. That's a-
okay. Okay. Here's my reasoning though. Did you ever watch Barbie?
Yesterday.
Okay. So there used to be like Barbie had like these like main character, side character animals. And one of them was a tiny little polar bear. And I was like, oh, they're so cute and fluffy. Hmm. I know. Like, logically, would that make... You said animals that weren't normally animals.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, polar bears are cute.
But. Yeah. Or, like, even a... I'll even take a brown bear. Probably not a black bear. Those aren't as cute.
I probably wouldn't take a bear.
Yeah.
But in general...
All right, fine. What are you guys choosing?
What are you doing? I don't even know my answer.
I'd probably do a panda bear. You could snuggle with the panda bears.
That's a cute.
Great answer.
They're cute little animals, and they sleep a lot. So, I mean, what are you going to do?
Aren't panda bears actually kind of fierce, though?
Yeah. I did read that. So maybe I'll refrain from the fierce part, but I'm on the nice little cuddly panda bear.
And you, Justin?
That's a good question. I always thought it'd be cool to be like a falconer, you know, like have your own bird of prey that you can just send out and come fly back and land on your arm.
All you got to do is stick that arm out, and it's coming right there.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome.
A built-in, what's it called? When you throw it and it comes back to you.
Frisbee?
No.
Boomerang.
Boomerang. Yeah. Your built-in boomerang.
Have you seen the TikTok live that the guy does where he attaches like a GoPro to like a falcon flying around?
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
And it shows the landscape. That's an incredible idea. First time I saw that, I was like, what is going on? And then... check the comments.
It's crazy.
What about you?
Me, I would do a cougar. I don't really know why, but I would have a cougar.
And you would say mine is killer.
I would have a cougar.
That is so interesting.
Mountain lion, panther, Florida panther, whatever you want to call it. Cougar.
That's awesome.
Fun fact. So when I was little, my dad lived in Colorado. And so I was at his house for the summer for a couple of weeks. And I was like maybe 4 or 5 at this time. And I walk outside. And guess is what is in front of me?
Polar bear.
I wish. No, a tiny black bear. Or no, tiny brown bear. It was a baby brown bear. I start sprinting to this bear. Because I was like, oh, it's a bear. It's fluffy. It's so cute. My dad yanks me into the house and throws me into the house and says, absolutely not. And I was like, but I try to convince him. I was like 4 years old. And I try to convince him that I deserve to touch that bear. And he was like, wherever baby bear is, mama bear's near. And I was like, perfect. It's a big version of a tiny, fluffy thing. It's great.
Bears are deceptive because you're like, oh, look, they're so cute and cuddly. But then they'll rip your eyes out.
Have you seen their ears? What dangerous animal has tiny ears?
Bears.
They're so cute.
Yeah, polar bears, brown bears, black bears.
Grizzly bears.
Grizzly bears.
Panda bears.
Killer bears.
Y'all don't understand the adorableness and the wonders. Haven't you watched the Bears movie on Disney Plus? It'll change your perspective about bears.
Have you watched the Grizzly Man documentary where the guy like lives with the grizzly bears and then he ends up getting like mauled by all the grizzly bears?
What about Brother Bear?
Yeah, Brother Bears. Brother Bear's good. Northern Lights. Yeah, that's a good movie.
Brother Bear makes you rethink your relationship with your family.
Rethink what you think about bears.
No, they're adorable, fluffy things. Well, besides bears, fun fact, we go on tangents most of the time.
Perfect.
I'm proud I didn't talk about Costco. For like a good solid couple of weeks, I was obsessed with Costco.
Really? Costco or Sam's Club?
Yeah, I'm more of a Sam's Club guy.
Don't even start.
That's
don't
ridiculous.
Even start, guys.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. Now you just open the door.
Here's the thing. Sam's Club is owned by Walmart.
Perfect.
Okay. Costco is its own entity. It pays its employees $15 an hour before Costco or before Sam's Club was doing that. They did it before it was cool. On top of that, their CEO makes billions of dollars and their staff stay at the company for multiple years and have a lot of people progress in the like line of business people to higher ups.
I think Costco's basically Target. Yes. And Sam's Club's is basically Walmart.
Yeah.
Which one's better, Walmart or Target?
Target.
I just go there for the food court. So, I mean, I don't really care about groceries, to be honest.
It's $1.50 for a hot dog. And not just a tiny hot dog, a big hot dog.
Yeah, but Sam's Club's got good pizza.
Very good pizza. So does Costco.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean. Yep.
So does Costco. You know,
good pretzels.
Yeah.
Ever had their cinnamon and sugar pretzels?
Yes. But I'm just going to stick to my allegiance, you know? Always been a Sam's Club guy.
So I've never shopped at Costco.
We need to go. Okay, I have to.
But I have to ask this question, because Sam's has an awesome app where I don't even have to get in line.
Yeah.
Like I can just go through Sam's. I can scan all my items and pay on the app and walk out the door. Does Costco have that?
We have self-checkout.
Yeah.
But not the app. Like I don't even have to go through self-checkout. I'm just scanning the item and I'm out. Love it.
Yeah, they check the receipt on your phone, you know, type thing. Boom, you're out. You're getting on with your day while you're scanning it yourself.
Do you have mega muffins? Does Sam's Club have mega muffins?
We have mega muffins.
We have mega muffins.
Deluxe mega muffins.
They are coffee cake muffins.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We have samples 24/7.
Wow, that's impressive.
Uh-huh.
All right, we digress. Back to soccer.
All right, fine. What are some misconceptions about soccer that you have had people ask about?
I'll go first. Some misconceptions is that soccer players are soft. Yeah, and we have some crazy guys on the team. And we've had some crazy guys on the team. We had a guy last year who every time the ball was on the ground, it's probably not the perfect time for a head ball, but he would head ball it. And he got either a yellow or a red card. And during a game, ball comes near the sideline. It's on the ground. He falls on the ground. Boom, he goes to head it. The guy just kicks the ball into his head. And I think he got a red card for him because it's technically a dangerous play.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had seen it before. And we were like, we were in awe. But you should have seen the other team. The other team was like, what on earth did we just watch?
Yeah, the whole game just stopped. Like, even the ref stopped, stood there for like 10 seconds, kind of looked at everyone's like, what's going on here? Hands him the card. He's off the field. We're like, oh, my gosh. Did you just
Shout out Junior.
Yeah, shout out Junior.
He's at Monmouth University now playing D1 soccer as well. He's still crazy. Yes. He's loco.
So are you playing against him?
We will not.
No.
Not this year.
So, did you warn the other team that he likes to do that?
No, we kind of told him like, "Hey, your head's gonna be gone if you keep doing that." And I think he knows it. But I would like to ask some of the Monmouth players and coaches to see if they've seen him do that.
I mean, I don't know what to say. How do you even get to this level with that type of play? Like
intensity.
Live for the game, die for the game. That's basically
live for the game, die for the game.
Oh, is that on the team shirts? You got to get that on the team shirts.
We should use that for the breakdown huddle.
We could. That could be our thing.
Family on three.
Love it.
There you go. I guess you guys have a new logo.
A new motto.
Yeah. Motto. Like yeah. Why did I say logo?
I don't know.
I'm doing great, y'all. All right. What about you? Do you have any misconceptions?
I mean, just the whole soft thing, flopping, thinking it's like a...
Yeah, what about the drama part?
That's what
we're talking about.
I mean,
like, right?
Of course we're going to change the topic here. We're seeing like NFL quarterbacks. You know, I'm a Chiefs fan, so watching the game the other night and seeing that whole like roughing the passer thing, I mean, these quarterbacks
ridiculous.
Are actors.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous, exactly. These quarterbacks are actors out there, and no one's saying anything about them acting. So, I mean, it's kind of a... In soccer, you kind of have to play your cards right in certain times. You can't just be, like, falling over, like, super easy all the time. But there's some times where you're going to, you know, kind of fall over a little easy. You're going to get the call, or if you're not going to get the call. But you know. You kind of know with the ref. But I would just say the whole physicality, like, softness thing.
To be fair, we do sell a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think sell is the word, not flop.
Yeah, sell.
if you get hit and you got nowhere to go, you might as well go down.
It's more man.
So yeah. That happens.
Do you practice that?
The sell? But from 20 years of playing,
yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's...
You know when the right time is to do it, too. You know what it is.
Ow, yeah.
So
my ankle.
In high school soccer, you know, you don't get, like, red cards and yellow cards in JV level, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, my son got a personal foul called on him the other day because he just plowed this kid over. But I swear the kid rolled, you know, intentionally a little bit further to get that personal foul called. But
as one does.
I actually think it was a personal foul.
Yeah.
You know? My son swears it wasn't. He swears the kid was just weak, but, you know.
I mean, yeah.
Did you teach him that move?
No.
No.
Nope.
Yeah, they're selling, and then
that was all natural.
They're super selling. Like, those guys just rolling around on the ground holding their ankle when they just got hit in the head. Like, it's like, pick or choose one of them, dude.
Oh, I would say it's also different from, like, this level that we're playing at to the TV level. Because when you look on TV, if you look at, like, the Premier League, the professionals, some of those guys are just flopping. And they're so technical that they can. At this level, there's not as much flopping or selling or everything. Some people are battling.
What are terms that you guys only use in soccer that you wouldn't hear anything else? Like, you're using the word flopping. Like, I've never, what's that's poppin'? Not a word that's usually
don't
ever
mommy
heard.
Just flopping.
Upper 90.
Yeah, upper 90.
Top bins.
I mean, I'm trying to think
of a couple ones with cuss words that I won't say on here.
a big one I like to say with a couple of the Spanish guys is dale. Dale means like, let's go, let's go.
Yes.
So I'll just yell that all the time. That and cambia, which is switch.
Yeah,
and
do
a
it
key,
right now.
A key here. I like that one too.
Dale, dale.
Yeah, dale, dale, dale. I like that.
And then we had, I mean, I can't say it, but we had a Norwegian guy here. That's the cool thing about soccer is you meet these guys from all over the globe. We had a Norwegian guy here, and he would shout out some Norwegian when things went bad, and he would shout it out. You could hear it from Spellman. Can't say it on here, but we know the term. We know what it means. But
that's awesome.
That's hilarious. Just eating your food, and then all of a sudden you hear a very angry man speak in Norwegian, and you're like, I am ordering Chick-fil-A, sir. Just please. Take a second.
Shout out Benji.
Shout out Benji.
All the shout outs today, boys.
Yeah, we're getting them all out.
Credit when credit's due, you know?
He's playing out in Norway. He's actually on one of their, like, professional teams out there.
Nice.
Now, the problem is they just got relegated.
What does that mean?
Which means they go from the one league down to the next
because
they weren't very good this year. So, shout out Benji, but come on, you got to get back up there.
Well, don't forget to send him this podcast. It's on Spotify.
Yeah, we got it.
All right, so what are some of the greatest lessons you have learned from soccer, both when it comes to, like, technique and also life lessons? Because we know from talking to other people that sports is not just about physicality and winning a game. It also teaches you a lot of personal and leadership skills.
I don't know. What would you say for this?
I think leadership skills, that's a good question. There's a lot of things, so. But I think leadership skills is a good thing to think about. We have a team of like 30, and like you have to round up these guys, and everybody has to be on the same level. So there's 11 that are taking the field, but at the start of a game, but you have to have all 30 in tune. The bench has to be into it, into the game, and the energy has to be there from every single person. If one person doesn't, if their energy's not there, maybe the person next to them's their energy goes away, and then maybe the guy next to him. So it's about keeping that level, and then when you go down, like you go down 1-0 in a game, it's about looking at each other and being like, hey, we're coming back. Like we can come back, and we gotta do this right now. So mm-hmm. It's getting everybody on the same page, which is a hard task, but it's fun to do.
Yeah, so piggybacking off Alex here, I mean, the beauty of soccer is there's 11 guys on the field just like in football. And, you know, everyone's got their one individual job that game. But the one thing that people don't really understand sometimes is, like, kind of not being the hero. I've learned this, like, my whole life. My coach has always said, don't be the hero. You don't have to be the hero because you have 10 other guys around you that are willing to do the same thing and sacrifice everything on the line. You got to trust them. So it's all about the trust factor. Like, in life, you have to trust people that are going to put you in – good situations later in life. So you have to trust every single one of your teammates, whether they're playing or not. So I've kind of just learned that you have to trust people.
That's good.
Thank you.
That's big because, I mean, soccer is an easy one to get that ball on your feet and you've got an open field and you're like, I'm gonna dominate right now, right? And then defense closes in and you're like, got to rely on those other guys.
Exactly. Should have passed it.
Yeah. Same thing in life, right? Like, you see the field ahead of you and you're like, I can handle this all by myself. But then things start closing in, so you got to pass things off to the people around you. So
that's so true. I mean, we have a team filled with guys that were – usually their star at their respective high schools or clubs. So if you get a team of like 30 guys coming in and most of them were the stars from where they came from, you got to build a team of where they trust each other, they share the ball, and then we move from there. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So what are some goals for the future? Are you hoping to continue playing? Are you hoping to coach? Are you hoping that in 30 years, if you have children, you can coach their tiny baby soccer leagues? Are you hoping to do sports, or are you hoping to do sports broadcasting? Like, what does the future look like for y'all, especially since y'all are seniors?
That's crazy.
I'll let Flax go first because he already has three kids. So
No. But I would love to coach down the line. I've always thought about, you know, some of my biggest role models in life have been my coaches. So going back to my high school would be awesome. I would love to go home and coach them because some of my greatest memories were from high school soccer. So I'd like to kind of create that for people that are growing up. And, I mean, sports broadcasting is pretty dope. I've always kind of caught myself commentating games all the time. Emig can attest to that. I'm always just sitting there. I always like to do that stuff. So I don't know anything in sports. I'm just a sports junkie, so I'm just happy with it.
I keep telling him he needs to be a sports broadcaster or something along those lines. You should hear this guy. I am so into sports, and I know statistics, weird statistics, like the back of my hand. If I don't know something, all I do, we're roommates. I yell in the other room. I go, Flax, how many home runs does Benintendi have this year?
Go Royals.
And he'll rattle it off like that. And it's just like he needs to get into that, and he would be really good. So
maybe you should do a podcast.
Thought about it. Thought about it.
You should.
Yeah.
What was your major again, Flax?
Sports management. Exactly. Yeah, I heard sports, but when it was in high school, it was like sports. I'm like, okay, yeah, sticking with that 100%. I don't know where it's going to take me in life, but it's sports. So, I mean, you can't complain.
It's awesome. I think that's a good major. I mean, they're so broad, dude. And there's so many things to get into.
Yeah, you can do anything with it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Go work at Enterprise, rent a car if I wanted to. I mean, come on.
Be one of those 100,000 NCAA athletes.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be the guy that puts up like the Windy balloon that's like floating around.
Oh, I could be that guy.
There you go.
Yeah. That's awesome.
For me, I would love to be a coach in the future. I think both of us would actually be really, really good at coaching. We're very understanding. We can get our points across too, and we're very intelligent on the sport. I don't want that to be my career, but I would like to do it at some point in my life. So we'll see if that happens. And then right now we are coaching right now for our little part-time gig during the season. We coach for Lou Fuse soccer kids, and we with these little, what, 8-year-olds running,
my kids
seven
are,
or eight
my
year
kids
olds.
Are 5 and 6, so they're just learning. But
third ball.
Yeah. These little boys and girls running around, and we coach their practices, yell at them to spread out, and try to help them pass the ball, and then we go to their games and everything. So yeah,
coach them on Fridays. So
Flax, although Flax went Friday, and he coaches for 3 games, right? So I always ask him, how'd the results go? And he lost all 3 games last week. So maybe he's not doing too good of a job
coaching.
I'm
on the hot seat right now. I'm on the hot seat. A lot of unhappy parents.
There's a team called the Pink Ladybugs. And it's a group of, I think all their moms are friends. It's a group of girls. I think all their moms are friends. And they run through everyone.
Yeah.
They win everything. And I think they do like the juice boxes after the game, and they yell Pink Ladybugs, and they got their uniforms.
Yeah, they are a crazy bunch of girls, and they just absolutely play soccer.
What's your team's name?
Well, it depends. It's usually just like a cliche thing, like a Bayern Munich or a Chelsea or a Leeds. They don't really have creativity where we are, but the Pink Ladybugs.
That's the problem. You're going up against the Pink Ladybugs.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
There's unity in that name.
Right. Yeah, their jerseys are sick. I mean, my team just wears the simple Lou Fuse gray shirt. You know?
Maybe you need to be the Fierce Pandas.
Fierce Pandas? I like the Fierce Pandas. I mean, something like that. I mean,
or just like the Strikers.
Get them excited.
The Running Leopards.
You know, something that instills fear in the hearts of...
Like, the Kicking Kangaroos.
Yeah, when you see them on the schedule, you're like, oh yeah, we know it's going to be a game.
Pink Ladybugs? Yeah. I mean, that's...
The Kicking Kangaroos.
There you go.
With built-in fanny packs.
Don't let Lauren design your team.
Yeah. Noted.
All right. So last question is, what advice do you have for people interested in soccer in the collegiate level while also balancing education?
I guess I'll go first here. For me, it was just finding like the right place. The funny story is I really didn't know what Lindenwood was. And my soccer team would always come up here in high school to play in like a tournament. We'd play like a Chaminade. We played MX school 1 year.
What was the result of that?
You guys beat us 3-0. Yeah. But that's besides the fact.
I couldn't remember.
But my mom, like, they went up on a bus and my mom just was like, hey, I'm going to take you to a college visit at Lindenwood. I'm like, okay. I wasn't even talking to Carl or this or that. So I got here and, you know, I really fell in love with the school. I just like kind of the closed community of it. Not too big. And I'm kind of more of a, you know, to myself kind of guy when in social spaces. And so later down the road, next thing you know, Carl's contacting me about coming to play at Lindenwood. I'm like, oh, I've actually been there before. It's a crazy thing. I was like, what if I could see myself in the future there. So later down the road, I'm here. So like, it was just kind of funny how things worked out. My mom, I think she kind of knew something. So yeah, my advice to people down the road about soccer is just find where you feel comfortable. There's going to be bumps in the road, you know, playing time's not going to be there all the time, but you just got to work hard every day. Got to make your teammates better and just do it because you love it. That's pretty much the gist of it.
Could you say that question one more time?
Yeah, absolutely. So what are your best advice for college students who are hoping to go into soccer while also balancing school and education?
I would say kind of find a schedule, if you will. There's times where you can get your homework done, and when you can get your homework done, do it. And then your nights are more free. I'd say soccer in general has created a lot of responsibilities for us. I think Flax and I are two pretty responsible men, and I think that's pretty largely due to soccer. We gotta be there at practice every day. We gotta be there at weights most days. And we gotta be there at games. We gotta be ready to take care of our bodies. And for like a job interview, is you want to show up 15 minutes or earlier. And for all these practices, we're showing up 15 minutes or earlier. So soccer is literally like a full-on job for us. And we do pretty well academically. So
Sometimes.
Most times. Yeah, most times. Most of us. Most times. We've got some slackers on the team. But then we have some overachievers.
That's right. But you got that community. So right?
Exactly. You balance each other out.
Correct.
Right. All right. Well, I appreciate you both so much for being here on the podcast. And before we leave, we are the Roarcast podcast. So if you wouldn't mind, please give us your best roar.
You want to go first?
Roar XD.
Roar.
Oh, that's lovely.
There you go. Justin?
Grr.
Wow.
I know, right?
Well, I will give my roar.
Well, it was pretty good.
That was powerful. It was powerful.
Thank you.
One more time.
That was Pink Ladybug powerful.
Oh.
Now, this is the Roarcast podcast, and we just interviewed the soccer team.